Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Mark Tooley with a Christian realist's perspective of God and guns.
There are some, obviously, pacifist Christians who would declare guns to be evil. Obviously, that's not the case. God ordained the government to use lethal force for the protection of society. So that means the state and its agents are ordained to carry weapons for law enforcement and the military. And I think it also legitimizes persons to have guns in some cases to defend themselves and to defend their families if they are in danger. And I don't see that there should be a Christian objection to hunting.
Mark Tooley, next. Mark Tooley, as president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy and editor of Providence, their foreign policy and national security journal, frequently writes thoughtful pieces on current cultural issues. Following the horrific school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, he wrote the article, A Christian Realist's Perspective on God and Guns. It appeared in both World Opinions and Juicy Ecumenism, the blog of the IRD. Mark, why did you want to weigh in on this highly charged issue?
Obviously, the recent school shooting in Texas aroused lots of strong emotions and passions and demands for new policies to address the horror that happened. And many of these policy demands have been absolutist. There are those who think that guns should essentially be abolished by law. And there was a tweet in particular from a fairly well-known evangelical political theologian, James K.A. Smith at Calvin University, who urged the revocation of the Second Amendment, which of course guarantees the population's right to gun ownership. And so I responded with my column that these absolutist demands are out of sync with Christian realism, that we have to deal with the world and with humanity as they are and not as they wish to be, and to revoke the Second Amendment, which would require supermajorities by Congress and the state legislatures, is obviously not going to happen, even if it were desirable, which is highly debatable. So what can be done to address senseless gun violence by those who are clearly mentally and certainly morally unstable?
Mark, you just mentioned the tradition of Christian realism. What is that?
The term is usually associated with the 20th century thinker Reinhold Niebuhr, who emphasized the fallen nature of humanity and advocated that politics must take into account this fallen nature of humanity. But Christian realism is not restricted to Reinhold Niebuhr. Arguably, it dates back at least to St. Augustine, who likewise emphasized the fallen nature of humanity and stressed that in the kingdom of man, consequently, we have to seek out the best possible solutions, but even the very best is going to fall far short of what we might hope for, and certainly fall far short of God's high standards.
Well, Mark, as you've just explained, a professor tweeted his view that the Second Amendment should be revoked. Talk for just a minute or two, how important the Second Amendment is.
Well, the Second Amendment obviously is part of the Bill of Rights, which were 10 amendments added quickly on to the U.S. Constitution at its founding when there were concerns by many that the original Constitution did not sufficiently safeguard basic individual rights against state power. So you have the First Amendment, which guarantees the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion and no establishment of religion. And then the other amendments that compose the Bill of Rights guarantee a speedy right to a jury trial and no search of your home without a warrant, just basic freedoms that we take for granted today, but which rightly were seen as needed specification given all that Americans had fought for in the American Revolution. So the founders thought that the right to own and bear arms was an essential right that should be safeguarded against the coercive powers of the state.
Obviously, Mark, after the horrific shooting, school shooting in Texas, and there have been other mass shootings in recent days as well. Some people are wanting to take dramatic, immediate action, but you write that Christian realism would caution us against maybe moving too quickly. Tell us about that.
Well, from a Christian realist perspective, we have to understand there is no comprehensive solution to any human problem. We can't eliminate evils typically, but we can contain them, manage them, limit them. So there will always horribly, tragically be murder and horror on the face of the earth until the end of time when God calls us all to account. But meanwhile, we do have a responsibility to suppress and deter murder and horror whenever possible. So the inverse of my argument was not just a warning against these absolutists who want to ban guns, but also against those who think there should be absolutely no restrictions on gun ownership whatsoever. And because humanity is so fallen, we cannot trust everyone to own and bear arms responsibly. And so I argue that those who are demonstrably immature, unstable, obviously psychopathic, who have a record of violence and instability, there should be safeguards against their gun ownership, and that the government, which is ordained by God to the extent possible to protect society from avoidable violence, should pursue these safeguards.
My guest today on His People is Mr. Mark Tooley. He is president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy, and we're talking about his recent article, A Christian Realist Perspective on God and Guns. He wrote it for World Magazine. Mark, you also make the point that sometimes in these issues where there is a terrible violence, where we are prompted to act quickly, that we can overlook some of the complexity of the issue. Talk about that.
Well, all of humanity is prone to idealism, but especially Christians who have a strong passion for wanting to do what is right and good and to order society in ways that are in sync with God's will. There is always a temptation to want to propose some comprehensive solution to be enacted through law and legislation, but very few human problems can be solved through law and legislation.
Mark, you are the president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy, as I mentioned, and you wrote for World Magazine. So you're writing from a Christian worldview perspective. And as such, you said that the school shooting in Texas was demonic. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, obviously, the killer was a nihilist and had no regard for human life, had no regard for his own life, had no purpose in his life, and that dark vacuum, which he knew would lead to his own death by murdering children. So if that is not demonic and even satanic, then what is? Christians would define demonic and satanic as completely opposed to God's will, to his love, to his regard for humanity. To be satanic and demonic is to pursue pure destruction for the sake of destruction.
Mark, from the perspective you are writing from, that of Christian realism or a Christian realist perspective, is there any room for increased restrictions on gun ownership?
There is no official biblical stance on what the United States of America should do in terms of gun policy. But I think from what I call a Christian realist perspective, which is always about competing interests and judging that everyone is has their propensity towards sinfulness. So how do you strike a balance that keeps everything in kind of an equipoise to the extent possible? You want to safeguard gun ownership for responsible citizens, but those who pose a great danger to society, a foreseeable danger, society has not just a right, but a responsibility to guard itself. It's persons like the 18-year-old who seemingly quickly bought this weapon and was able to use it immediately to slaughter young children.
I know people are trying to figure this out right now, Mark, but from where you sit as the head of a Christian organization, is there any way to guard against this kind of a threat in the future?
Well, firstly, we have to understand that no gun control policy is ever going to be completely effective. Those who are killers who are very, very aspiring killers who are very, very determined, very, very clever, are almost always going to break through and achieve what they want. But we still, as a society, have a responsibility to make it as hard as possible for those who are homicidal to pursue their dark desires. And so I would propose that a demonstrably unstable 18-year-old whose instability was evident to those who knew him should not be able to immediately purchase a weapon without any kind of background check or restriction.
In the piece that you wrote, Mark, for World Magazine, you write that it's hard for some conservative Christians to accept, but not every aspect of gun culture comports with their faith. What do you mean?
Well, for understandable reasons, American conservatives, Christian or not, are champions of the Second Amendment and want to restrict the government's power in terms of personal rights, and so will celebrate gun ownership. And there's much that can be honored about responsible gun ownership. But often those who are zealots for guns have an obsession, a preoccupation that becomes almost macabre. And I would argue that any obsession or preoccupation with any sort of hobby can lead one, point one inward to a self-focus and away from concern for others and away from God. So we need to be wary of overly obsessive hobbies, but certainly an obsessive hobby that involves lethal weaponry has an especially potential dark perspective that can lead us towards dark places.
Well, obviously, Mark, most people are hobbyists in terms of guns, but you mentioned the word obsession or becoming obsessed. Is there some kind of a line that you think people should be aware of where they might be crossing it into simply a hobby to being obsessed?
Any kind of hobby can become obsessive. And I suppose a healthy hobby involves interaction and camaraderie with others and the opportunity to serve others and not just collecting things in your own home or your own warehouse. But, and of course, many gun owners, they are in gun clubs or they go hunting with friends, et cetera, et cetera. So it builds up friendship and camaraderie. But I'm afraid many, many gun zealots, it's a lonesome activity where it's just them and their guns. And I think that can lead to dangerous places. But also, I would say, from a Christian perspective, once again, we realize life is very short and we only have so many years to work with, and we will be held to account for every hour of every day. How did we spend it? Did we use it to give honor to God and to help and serve others? Or did we just pursue our own preoccupations? And for gun zealots or zealots for any kind of hobby, and that speaks to all of us because all of us have our little things that we like to do.
Sure.
That sometimes can lead us astray. I think we need to reflect, is this the best way that I can spend my weekend?
Mark, in your piece, you write that for 2,000 years, Christianity has often preached against things like theaters, dancing, card playing, and other recreations. Why bring that up in a piece about God and guns?
I think that speaks to a preoccupation with guns and that the church historically, at least parts of it, have warned against what used to be called vain amusements and entertainments and frivolity. And it seems quaint to us now that over the centuries, there were often warnings against theater going or dancing or frivolous conversation, et cetera, et cetera. And once again, it was because Christianity calls us to redeeming the time, to sobriety, to service to others. And these what were called vain amusements might tickle our fancy for a season, but they don't really contribute to the building up of the kingdom of God. And obviously an intense gun fanaticism in which one is always alone with your guns or going to various gun events, I think that can become a vain amusement.
And at the same time, Mark, you bring up the fact that gun ownership carries with it many legitimate concerns and uses. You've mentioned hunting, of course, and things like self-defense and so on.
That's right. There are some, obviously, pacifist Christians who would declare guns to be evil. Obviously, that's not the case. God ordained the government to use lethal force for the protection of society. So that means the state and its agents are ordained to carry weapons for law enforcement and the military. And I think it also legitimizes persons to have guns in some cases to defend themselves and to defend their families if they are in danger. And I don't see that there should be a Christian objection to hunting or using guns in a responsible way for target shooting or whatever, as long as it doesn't become the main focus of your life. But it's the zealotry and the fanaticism and defining yourself by guns when it becomes more, it's an overused word, but I'll say idolatrous.
Your piece is A Christian Realist's Perspective on God and Guns, Mark. And I'm wondering, is the Christian perspective, is it having input into this discussion, this cultural discussion, from where you sit?
Well, I'm not sure how much Christian realism pervades a lot of Christian conversation today. I think it often tends to be, at least the public voices that get the most attention, tend to be more absolutist, whether they're from the right or the left. But to actually be Christian realist or Augustinian and to understand all the players and characters in society are sinful and self-interested and pursuing their own interests. And so how can we create the best public order given that reality? And in terms of guns, we don't want to take a utopian approach to somehow with a piece of legislation we're going to completely preclude all violence and murder. We know that's not possible, but we can take actions that will limit and deter a lot of violence and a lot of murder. And so what might that look like?
What would you suggest?
Well, I'm sure there are policy experts wiser and better informed than I, but I would argue that there are some restrictions that are defensible in terms of keeping guns away from those who simply are not able to handle them responsibly. But obviously, in terms of this teenager who in Texas, as I understand his family background, no father, his mother was on drugs. He was disconnected from friends and from society. So, how do we prevent people from reaching that point? There will always be people like that, even the best case scenario. There will always be fatherless children. There will always be children with drug-addicted mothers. So we shouldn't kid ourselves that we're going to abolish that, but we can limit it. And I think the church has an important role in encouraging the building up of marriage and of responsible family life and of ministries that reach out to those who don't have the advantages of stable family life, and especially reaching out to young men who, without stable fathers and stable families, can potentially become very violent and very dangerous.
So in one sense, you're saying, Mark, that this is a motivation and impetus for the church to continue and to be mindful of its ministry of bringing the gospel to those around us.
It is, absolutely. And I think the church and other responsible people need to argue against the increasing propensity in American society to seeking out these alternative realities, usually online-based, these lost souls who don't have stable families, don't have friendships, obviously don't have a meaningful church that attracts them. And so they develop these alternative personas online that often lead them to dark places and seemingly motivated this young murderer who advertised online what he was going to do as though that would give him some final meaning or purpose that he could not otherwise identify for himself.
Mark, a couple of minutes ago, as you were talking about viewing this issue from the perspective of Christian realism, you used the term Augustinian, referring to the church father Augustine, the writer of the Confessions and other works. What is it about his thought which you believe helps us to approach an issue as difficult as this?
Well, obviously, he was a central church father who had an enormous role in shaping the perspectives of at least Western Christianity, Catholic and Protestant, and working out how the church operates in this world and society, and how Christians should encourage and participate in a stable political and social order. But we have to understand that political and social order, even in the very, very best case, is never going to equate with the kingdom of God. You're always dealing with humanity universally sinful. Even the redeemed and the sanctified are not always acting as such. And so what can government do to best approximate God's vision of justice, given our own propensity towards sin. So that's what Augustine contended with, and that's what Reinhold Niebuhr, 1600 years later, also tried to address.
As you've already explained, Mark, horrors like what we've been discussing that took place in Texas, and of course in other mass shootings around the country in recent times as well, they will be with us until Christ returns. And yet at the same time, in the meantime, believers should be agents of redemption in this world. What is it that you believe individual Christians should be about?
Well, different individuals have different callings. Some are called to perhaps special ministries to reach these lost young men who don't have fathers, stable families, who are tempted in a dark direction. Most Christians are not called to that ministry. All Christians, or most Christians, are called to work for a society that seeks to at least approximate divine justice. And we can disagree on the details, but hopefully largely agree on the ultimate goals. And I hope that we can agree that people like this 18-year-old killer should not have easy, immediate access to a gun that he can immediately use to start slaughtering children.
There are certainly different opinions on how to address this issue, Mark, as you've touched on in our discussion today and in your piece, A Christian Realist Perspective on God and Guns, that you wrote for World Magazine. I'm wondering, what kind of feedback have you gotten on this piece?
Well, online, it's been strongly positive. There have been a few dissenters. There again, there are those who think that any suggestion, any restriction whatsoever on gun ownership necessarily entails an attack on the Second Amendment and will lead to tyranny and coercion by the state. And I understand that concern. But there again, I think that we need to avoid these absolute perspectives. And yes, the government can be very dangerous, but all of us can be dangerous, and all of us need to keep each other in check on some level.
Your piece, A Christian Realist Perspective on God and Guns, can be read at worldmag.com. And I'm wondering, Mark, you are the president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy. What is it that you do there?
We have been around for 41 years in Washington, D.C., making a Christian argument for democracy, religious freedom, and human rights for all people everywhere, and advocating a responsible political and social witness by the church in America, and pointing out that the church has an absolutely central role in sustaining a healthy democracy. If the church is unhealthy, society will be unhealthy.
And you are editor of the Foreign Policy and National Security Journal, Providence. If somebody's interested in that, what do you write about? What is the focus of Providence?
Well, again, it's a voice for Christian realism as applied to national security, international affairs, global statecraft, understanding America's role and responsibilities in the world.
Touching on this subject in Providence?
Not per se. I wrote this particular column, as you know, for World Magazine, which we reposted on IRD's blog, which is called Juicy Ecumenism.
My guest today on His People has been Mark Tooley, president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy. And again, we've been talking about his piece, A Christian Realist Perspective on God and Guns. Mark, what are your final thoughts? What would you leave us with?
Only to be hopeful. We know God is sovereign. The world is full of horrors, but God is also redeeming the world. So obviously we should weep and mourn in the aftermath of these horrors, as happened in Texas, but that should not drive us to despair, because we know not just the ultimate outcome, but we know here and today God is active in the world.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Mark Tooley, president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy and editor of Providence, their Foreign Policy and National Security Journal. You can read his piece, A Christian Realist Perspective on God and Guns, at JuicyEcumenism.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Marvin Olasky on his journey of forgiveness and understanding toward his late father.
He never talked to me about his World War II experience, and his experience right in May and June 1945, just when the war ended, and he saw what was to be seen in these concentration camps. If he had talked with me about that, then maybe I would have developed a certain fear of Christians, because, you know, he would identify all these people, non-Jews, as Christians.
That's tomorrow at this same time right here on His People. Thanks for listening.